بالخلافة بالخلافة.
Dal carriers from all over the world showcasing the party's stance on topical issues and presenting a comprehensive Islamic solution.
ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن.
Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction, and argue with them in a way that is best. Presenting Dawah Talks.
Jazakallah khair. I actually have a question here. I apologize if I'm reading it incorrectly here. Shabma, it says, how can we help humanity? We don't have infrastructure to prevent disease, for example, sanitation and so on and so forth. How can you answer that, please?
Okay. So this is more towards, you're talking about the sanitation system in the Muslim world. Is that what he's talking about, or?
I'm not sure, but I think what he's talking about, like infrastructure, meaning obviously at a national level or a global level, you know?
Okay. Look, the thing is that it's not that the infrastructure does not exist. Infrastructure does exist in many parts of the world. It's no different. When you talk about infrastructure, think of the infrastructure as another kind of a resource. So these resources exist. And there are, once they exist, it's very easy to replicate. Okay? Now, when you start thinking of all these infrastructures and stuff as resources, then the question comes in is not about we don't have it. Question should be actually why we don't have it, because resources are plenty in the whole world. That is more sufficient, is way more sufficient for the number of people that exist in the world. So all those resources that we are talking about, whether it's sanitation, whether it's clean water, whether it's...
Well, sorry, if I can hold on 1 second. I think what the questioner meant is that we as individuals don't have it, right? As Muslims living here, you know, with their family, we don't have it. I believe that's what he's referring to.
When it comes to we as individuals, I think if we don't have it, that again goes back to the very same point. Look, when I'm talking about on a national, global level, right? Because when it comes to the rulers, they have to provide these basic necessities. And Islam actually promises that when it comes to the basic necessities, that will be fulfilled by the Islamic State. And this is what Islam teaches us, that it is an obligation on that. And there's a very nice incident of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu's life. And I think we probably read that all the time and heard this story. But there's one aspect of it which is very interesting of that. When Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, because he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the head of the state, he used to walk patrol in the streets of Medina to make sure that the needs of every individual has been fulfilled. And he wanted to get the first-hand knowledge from them. So once he was walking with his servant named Aslam, and he saw a woman was cooking in a pot something, and children were sitting around her and they were crying. And he approached her and he asked her that why the children are crying. And she did not know it was Umar ibn Khattab, by the way. So she goes, first she was not trying to talk to him, but afterwards she was willing to, and she talked, and she said, because they are hungry. So he said, why don't you feed them? And her response was, there is no food in the pot, it's only water. And she's just heating up the water. So the kids may think that there is some food cooking. And after a while, after they get tired of crying, they will fall asleep. So, and then she said, she said that Allah will ask Umar on the day of judgment about us. And Umar got surprised. Umar goes, how would Umar know that what were your needs? And she goes that when he took the bath to run the affairs of ours, from there on, this is his responsibility to find out if our needs have been fulfilled or not. And Umar, right away, he ran towards Baytul Mal with his servant. And he put the flour on his shoulder and took some oil, and he started running towards the women again and the children. And Aslam asked Umar, that "Oh, Umar, let me help you." And Umar's response was, "On the day of judgment, are you going to take my burden?" So now look, the point is this, and I'm going to stop the story here. Umar was looking at this as this is his responsibility to take care of every subject of the people who is ruling over. Now, when that system is there, that can take care of every individual no matter where you are at. Now, when you're talking about now, how to take care of the situation of every individual, obviously the system is not there. So we as Muslim, if we are aware of anybody who is in that kind of situation, of course this is our obligation on us and on individuals as well to reach out and help them as much as we can. But there has to be a parallel work has to be done, which is the real solution for these kind of problems, which is you have to implement the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have a state where you can take care of the affairs of the people in the right manner.
You know, that's actually very interesting because the next question leads into it. You may have already answered part of it, but Victor Ortiz says, "Assalamu alaikum." Wa alaikum assalam, Victor Ortiz. So if we were to have an Islamic governing system, how will this have been controlled, how and managed, and perhaps even prevented the death toll to be less? Could you expand that on a little bit?
Sure. Look, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ul." It says that every one of you is a shepherd, and he is questionable, he's responsible for his subject. Well, Imam Ra'in wa huwa mas'ul. And Al-Imam, he is the shepherd, and he is responsible for his subject. Now, here his subject is, of course, the people who he's ruling over. Now, how would the Islamic State would take care of a situation like COVID-19? Look, obviously, you have to put all the resources, whatever you can find, about finding the cure for the disease. That's one aspect of it. And and probably the similar work is happening across the world by other states as well. The difference would be, number one thing is, the cure is when they're looking for, and then they're providing the health system for the people in the Islamic State. Number one, it will be provided as a public service. Second, we will not be looking at, well, while when we find the solution, to provide the solution in a manner that we are thinking of who is more powerful or who has more wealth. He is the one who has higher priority to live or to get the cure or get the vaccination or get the test or any of those things done. In Islam, you don't look at those things from the perspective of wealth, perspective of power. As we can see in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, again, giving an example of him, Amr Ramada happened. Amr Ramada was the year of ashes. And that year, Medina and the surrounding area, they were under the famine, and the people were not getting the basic supplies of food. So, and Umar was, he swore that he will not drink any kind of milk, yogurt, and butter. Now, after a while, one of the people, he found some, or in the market, there was some actually butter. So he brought some, ghee actually. So he brought some ghee. And he asked, how much was the ghee? And he said it was 40 dirham. He said the 40 dirham is too much, meaning he's not going to take it unless everybody in the area is able to buy that ghee for themselves. So he was looking himself as a normal person like the rest of them, and he made sure that the needs of the people are fulfilled first before he fulfilled his needs. So this is the way Islam looks at.
If I can interject just a little bit here. Sorry. So, I mean, that's taking care of the you're talking about the food and stuff here, right? But when we're talking about this virus here, okay, there's a lot of medical needs, you know. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest concerns here is how it's going to overwhelm the healthcare system. Yeah. I mean, there's only, I was reading some statistics, I would have to verify them. But in the whole of the United States, over 300 million people. But I heard there's only about 100 million hospital beds, and a smaller fraction of those are ICU beds. Now, somebody can make the argument, well, we didn't need them before. But the thing is, we knew about this virus months ago. Why wasn't production for hospital beds ramped up? Why weren't more people trained? Why weren't more masks made? You know, why weren't there more ventilators out there available? I believe that's some of the question. That's kind of where Victor may be headed towards when he's asking this question.
And it's a good point that look, if a ruler is looking from the perspective of he is accountable for every action he's doing. So if he is aware of that, that this kind of an outbreak is about to happen, and what are the measures need to be taken, that is actually an obligation in Islamic State. It's not up to him to let it go. It's an obligation on the ruler, on the Khalifa, to go and take care of these precautionary actions as well. Meaning, you, like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Aqalha wa tawakkal," that you tie the knot, meaning tie your camel, and then you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you take care of all the prerequisites that are needed to take care of this issue as well. So now, when it comes to if the information was out there already that this outbreak is about to happen, then instead of talking about, like, for example, today in India, Modi is talking about buying weapons from Israel rather than thinking about taking care of the people who are dying there. So Islam does not do to take care of the things this way. Islam takes care of the things from the perspective of, okay, these are my subjects. So the ruler has to take care of them and do all possible things which he can do within his limitation. Okay? He's accountable for those things. But I'm not saying that in an Islamic State, when it comes, then there will be no problem will happen. Or I just gave the example of Umar al-Khattab. There was a famine, but the famine was taken care of, meaning then he reached out to, for example, the people, the wali of Egypt, Amr al-As, and he told him to send the food, and that the food was from Africa. Today we talk about Africa is the one which is malnourished, kind of a continent, but in reality, Africa is one of the richest continents, but because of maldistribution of natural resources, we are in that state. Now, what Islam does is it makes sure that distribution of wealth is done properly. And similarly, when this kind of epidemic is happening, then all the resources will be combined to take care of the problem, inshallah.
Well, and then the few things I want to add here is that, look, it's not, when we're talking about the ruler here, we're talking about a whole system, not just one man here, you know. So when it comes to capitalist countries, you have the healthcare system that's divided up into the healthcare providers, the insurance companies that actually pay for the stuff, the hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, and various medical supply manufacturers, as well as the suppliers themselves. Mm-hmm. So all of these industries, if they're under one system and they're actually helping they're working towards a common goal here and not having to worry about, hey, we have our own investors to report to, or that we have our own vested interest in there that might compete with another company or something else, then you're not going to come, there's a lot of conflict within the capitalist system here. Whereas in the Islamic system, all the systems will work together to actually provide the solution.
Right. JazakAllah khair for the comment. And that's exactly true. And all the systems work cohesively. And at the same time, we also should not forget that nowadays, one of the key things that becomes a barrier is the way the resources have been distributed and the distribution of the wealth has happened within the people. There's only very few people who own most of the wealth in the world. For example, less than 1% of the people in the United States that owns about 60% of the wealth of the United States.
Okay, I have a few more questions. So let me read them, actually. So, excuse me. So, Muhammad Siddiqui asked, there's one drug that may have had some results, but it's been given an orphan designation by the FDA, which means, I don't know what that means, Gilead Sciences will have exclusive rights, it must be a company, to sell or license it. Shouldn't be made available at low prices to save lives instead of one company profiting off of it?
So I'm not aware of this medication, but what is this medication used for? Is it for COVID-19?
To treat it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what this medication is either. He didn't mention the medication.
So,
the medication.
I'll try to give a general answer, right? In Islam, it's not going to be the things like copyright or something that you have come up with a medication and then you are the only one who can sell the medication or something in Islamic State. There will not be any kind of a monopoly or things which lead to monopoly like this will be allowed. And it will actually make sure, especially things like which is for the health of the normal people or the public, that has to be part of the public ownership that Islam defines, and it should be provided to the people by the state also if it's needed. So now today,
okay,
I cannot say how they're doing it. Yeah.
I have another question here.
Yeah.
It says, Abdul Muqeed is asking, governments around the world are putting their countries into lockdown while not providing for the basic needs for the citizens. How will the Islamic system respond to such crises? I believe you may have already answered part of it, but if you can maybe proceed.
Yeah, I think I already answered, as you said, but just to reiterate that Islam takes care of its subject. Islamic State will take care of the subject from the perspective of the state has to take care of every individual in the state. It's not the issue of that you lock it down and the people are not able to survive. Whatever resources the state has, it has to use it for the good of the people and have to fulfill at least the basic necessities, which is food, shelter, and clothing, if they cannot get it otherwise. So in the case of a lockdown, people cannot get it by themselves, then it is a responsibility over the state.
Okay, I'm actually trying to find some questions, sorry. But I actually have something to ask here, though. Since you mentioned the lockdown, in Illinois, where Chicago's in Illinois here, the whole state is under a home shelter. So that means the unnecessary businesses, they're closed, but grocery stores are open. But we're definitely experiencing some hardship, no doubt about it. There's many people that have applied for unemployment because they don't have jobs. They're not going to get paid. So do you think the Muslims in the United States are experiencing some of the same hardships as Muslims around the world are? And how will this help us become more aware and more connected to the rest of the Muslims?
Okay. When it comes to the hardship that we are facing here, and to compare it with others, the hardship that they are facing, obviously we can see that probably we are not facing as much of a hardship as the others are facing, but at the same time we should also remember that Allah Azza wa Jal, He tests us according to our capabilities, all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha, that He puts, does not put a responsibility over your shoulders unless you are capable of it. So even the hardship when it comes to it, we are tested according to our capabilities now. Now, when we look from that angle, we understand we should not be undermining the people who are going through difficult times here and then say, oh, that's nothing compared to the others. No, different people are tested differently. That's one aspect of it. Second, if we can recognize that Allah has blessed us more than the others, and the people are really people are suffering way more than what you have, and you can help them. Now think of that way, that you have more responsibility on your shoulders, that you can recognize that the people around the world, even they are suffering much more than the people over here in this country or any other part of the world. Then you think of that way, that okay, what can I do to ease the pain of the others? And again, you can do it on the individual level, which is one way of doing it. Second is to understand, how can I solve this this mess has been created by current system that are ruling the world today, and what could be my portion of work to bring the just system of Islam back that can take care of the affairs of all the people.
You know, we're kind of close, coming near the end itself, so this is actually a very good question to ask here. I have something that I written my notes, so excuse me, let me grab my notes real quickly here. So what are some of the key Islamic points and examples from the Quran and the Sunnah, and there are many, of course, that we can learn from this experience to motivate us as Muslims to regain our status as witnesses over humanity.
So, I mean, examples are many, but I would like to rather remind ourselves from, number one, that what is happening today, it has actually, it should be an eye-opener for all of us. And that actually make us think and refocus our lives. Many of us become slackers, thinking of, I have life left, I will do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oblige on me. Sometime when I grow older and older and older, then I'll do it, I'll catch up with it. So we understand that. It has nothing to do with now, maybe they're talking about the people who are older, they are more susceptible for this disease, but anybody can die at any time, and this is the biggest reminder that this COVID-19 is giving it to us. Now, that thing, and then think of that we should be focused about the things which we can control and the things we cannot control. Like the numbers I was talking about the hunger, about the dirty water, or the unsanitary water that people are getting, cholera, typhoid, and obesity, and all those things people are dying with. These are the things that can be controlled. These are under our control. We can take care of these issues, right? Now, what is my job in this to take care of these issues that exist in the world? I cannot turn my back and say this is not my issue. This is on our shoulders. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the best nation, made us the best ummah, made us the just ummah, the one who are witnesses over mankind, the one who can bring the justice for the mankind, the one who can bring this message of rahmah to these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you except the mercy for the mankind. So this message of mercy has to be taken out to the rest of the world. And this is one of the best times we have today, that people are willing to listen to us. People are willing to listen to us. There are many examples in the Quran that talks about there are many nations who have come and gone. And you cannot even hear the whispers of them. We just read about them, what happened to Qawm Lut. We read about them, what happened to Qawm Aad or Thamud. But they are nowhere. We cannot even hear the whispers. So the people now today, Allah knows the best how long we are going to be here, and we don't know when this whole balance of power will tip also. Because this is a great time for Muslims and even non-Muslims to start thinking about that, okay, now this is the time to look for a system that can solve the problem of the mankind, inshallah.
I know with technical issues, we got started a little bit late here, so I'm going to ask another question that actually is very much related to what you just said, and maybe we can expand on it just a little bit more. So how can we use experiences now to start changing our thoughts, behaviors, and lives to rebuild the Islamic system while we try to survive this crisis living in the U.S.?
So, I thought I kind of gave an answer for this already, but when we were talking about more from the family perspective, that how we can focus our lives as families, but as an ummah as well, or the Muslim community that exists in the U.S. Or anywhere in the world, what can we do now? So, look, that the COVID-19 is uncovering a lot of weaknesses in the current systems, right? That's showing, for example, you just mentioned about how the people have been taken care of, even though the COVID-19 epidemic outbreak information was already out there months before this happened here. Why the precautionary actions were not taken care of, right? So because of that, people are willing to listen now. They're willing to listen. They are open for ideas. So that chance should not be missed by us. We should be talking among the Muslims and non-Muslims to remind them, look, there is a system that can take care of the lives of the people in the best possible manner a human being's life can be.
You know, so there's a corollary to that. So you're talking about the system itself, right? So clearly COVID-19, what's going on, is not the source of the problem, but a symptom of the system itself. So what do you see as the actual crisis? More importantly, how can it be solved?
So as I said, okay, look, as far as the COVID-19 goes, there is a crisis, and there is a medical crisis that's going on, especially around the globe. And as far as that part goes, as the hadith of Rasulullah SAW said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for every disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a cure for that. Inshallah, the cure will come sooner or later, and we will be able to move on to the lives. But there is something that should make us think that why we are in this state, why we are in this situation, and also all the problems which are happening because of the things which are under our control. That includes the system that we are implementing over the people, and the problems which are coming out of that system out there. So that's the thing, I think, an eye-opener for us as Muslims, and we should convey this to the rest of the world as well, and show them and guide them that, okay, look, we can solve the problems even when you're talking about COVID-19 kind of issue, inshallah.
Sorry, Jazakallah Khair. So, you know, alhamdulillah, actually, we've gone on for about an hour, and I think this is a good, very good position to end tonight's discussion. So I would like to ask you, Brother Asim, to go ahead and make inshallah, a dua for all of us. Jazakallah Khair.
Okay. Inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ربنا آتينا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم رب الناس اذهب البأس اشفهم وأنت شافي لا شفاء إلا شفاء لا يغادر سقم as Allah سبحانه وتعالى Rasulullah has mentioned to make this dua when you are going through any kind of for disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Allah, the Lord of the people, remove the trouble and heal the poor people, for you are the healer. No healing is of any avail for yours, healing that will leave behind no ailment. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to accept any of the Muslimin who have passed because of this disease, accept them as the shuhada, and the Muslimin who are keeping themselves to their houses, because of the houses or the land, because of this disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept them, they're keeping themselves as quarantine, as inshallah they will survive, and if they survive, give them the ajr of a shaheed as well. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to heal the whole mankind from the sickness that they're going through today, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them all, and make this sickness as one of the means for them to think and ponder and be guided, inshallah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair, Nasim Bhai. I would like to thank all of the attendees. Thank you so much for taking your time out to attend this discussion. Inshallah, we'll soon have more. So Jazakumullah khairan. Good night to everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for having me. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.